today as we come to the table.
All God is asking us to do, whether you are currently about to have a child, or whether you have children that are right now at home, or whether or not they're in the teen years, or whether or not they're already gone, God is simply saying this: start where you are in raising them in the Lord. Wherever you are in the process, start right now. If you've not been doing it, begin to do it. Well, Mark, how do I do that if they've already left home? Pray for them. God, I know that I didn't raise them in the Lord while they were home. I know, Lord, I didn't know you. I know my life wasn't committed to you, and now they don't know you, and I do. But God, would you open their eyes? Draw them to you, Lord. Let them see in my life something that's different. God will honor that.
Dealing with teenagers can sometimes feel like navigating a tricky maze. And as a parent, you might find yourself in a mental tug of war. As a believer, it can be truly tough to watch your kids drift away from their faith and rebel in their own ways. But does that make you lose all hope? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark has a heartfelt message for all the parents out there. He's inviting you to lift your spiritually lost kids in prayer. It seems like you may have missed the chance to build a solid spiritual foundation, but your prayers have the power to unlock those stubborn hearts to embrace God's love. It's never too late to come back to Jesus. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 13, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Judges, chapter 13. Let's do it. Let's pray as you guys are finding your way. Judges, chapter 13. Father, we thank you that we can laugh together, that we can have fun together as a family, because that's what we are. We are family. And we love you, and we love each other, and we love to get in your word, and that's what we're going to do today. And Father, as we look at Samson, this new judge that you're raising up, it reminds me of the judges you've given us in America. When we look at the judges of Israel and the impact they had on the nation, Lord, we look at the judges you give us as a nation, in the Supreme Court especially, and the import that it has on us, the impact. So God, I pray, and we just pray right now, God, that you would comfort that family and minister to that family. But we pray at the same time, God, that you would bring a godly Supreme Court judge and put them in that position. And God, you're more than able to do that. And you know that we need godly judges in this nation to lead us back to you, even as they needed godly judges to lead them back to you in Samson's day as well. And that's why you raised Samson and others up. So God, raise up a godly judge for our generation to take that position. And open up your word to us about not only, Lord, seeing this new judge that you're preparing, that you've set aside for yourself here for the nation of Israel, but God, the way you're going to set us aside as parents of those future judges. And so, Lord, open your word to us and teach us, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 13. Now, if you remember the last time we were in Judges, we saw a call of consecration, that is consecration of Samson. The angel showed up, actually the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus we talked about, which is the messenger and or angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He showed up and he gave the message in the first five verses to Samson's mom about the fact that not only she had been barren and she was now going to have a baby, but that child was going to be a leader for the nation of Israel. It's going to be a Nazirite to God. And the Nazirite vow, if you did your homework from last time, remember we told you to look in Numbers chapter 6, read what the Nazirite vow was. It was a certain vow that was given and was intended to be only a temporary vow where you set yourself apart or consecrated yourself unto God. And consecrate just means to fully devote, to fully give yourself over to. And they were to do that in these vows when they wanted to do that with God, the men were. And it was a temporary vow where you weren't to drink any wine or anything from the vine, even vinegar made from the wine. You couldn't eat grapes or raisins. You couldn't, you know, cut your hair. I had one guy share with me after we talked about that a couple weeks ago. He said, can you imagine the dreadlocks on that guy, you know? But either way, your hair would have to grow and get long. And, you know, you would show up and you'd see someone taking a Nazirite vow, very visible, but it would be temporary. You know, it'd be like all of a sudden, like Ebo shows up today and his beard's gone. There'd be all of a sudden somebody's hair would be cut off. You know, hey, something's different about you. Oh yeah, the Nazirite vow is over, so to speak. But in Samson's case, this was to be a lifelong vow. This was a vow set apart to God, where Samson was set apart to God for his entire life. And actually, he's the only one in Scripture that I know of that God called to do that. And so God was going to make a statement with his life, not just in heart as being a judge, but an outward appearance, where when people saw Samson, they would realize there's a God of Israel and he's serving him with all of his heart. And you know, it struck me that really is how we should be as believers as well. We may not be taking Nazirite vows where we're not cutting our hair and not eating anything from the vine or all these kind of things because we're no longer under the law. But people should be able to look at our lives and say, you know what, that guy, that girl, they are set apart for God. And I see that in their life. They give their all to him. They're devoted completely to the Lord. And we should be that living testimony to God. And even though this was a temporary vow and it was long-term for Samson, we should have a long-term vow of our life and completely over to God and being set aside to God. So Samson was set aside for God. And again, we're also going to see today that not only was Samson set aside for God, but God called Samson's parents to be set aside for God as well. And this is a major thing to understand. If we're going to raise our kids in the Lord, which you're going to get look at more practical ways to do that as we go through the passage today, first, we as parents must set ourselves aside for the Lord as well. Because if we're not serving the Lord, chances are our kids aren't going to serve the Lord. You know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. If we're the kind of parent that drops our kid off and we leave, the kids are going to do what we do, not what we say. And if we're pointing them down one path, we say, all right, we're here in the mountains, go walking down that path. That'll be a real fun path. I'm going to go over and I'm going to fish. And then, you know, and our kids are a little going, Daddy, aren't you coming? No, you go on. Don't worry. But there's bears. No, just go on. You'll be fine. I'm going to fish over here. When I'm done, I'll pick you up and we'll go from there. You're going to begin to think, apparently this path that my father's pointing me to is not that important because the path that he's going is something different. And so we're going to see that God deals with the parents as well, which again is the first line of really what needs to take place if we're going to raise our kids in a life of the Lord. So we're going to challenge ourselves in that today. Now, also, if you remember the first time that we saw the Lord appear to Samson's family, it was to Samson's mom by herself. Angel of the Lord appeared. He said, you're going to have a child. He's going to be a Nazirite unto God. And then we see her run back to tell Manoah, which is her husband, hey, this man who was awesome in appearance came to me and said that not only am I going to have a child, but this child is to be set apart for the Lord for all of his life. And Manoah again, you know, we're going to see today, says, hey, I want to meet this man as well. And I have to, again, understand to some degree Manoah wanting to do that, because if Tracy came home, I mean, I would certainly believe her. But if she came home and said, hey, this maybe it was an angel, I don't know who it was, but it was awesome in appearance, came and told me these things about our family, I would be very excited and I would believe her, but I would be, wow, I'd like to see that, you know? Lord, speak to me. Show me, God. And this is where Manoah is today. He wants to see what it was that his wife saw and hear what the life of the child is supposed to be. But as we look at this today too, one of the things that was in my heart was giving us some solid principles on raising our kids. I think we all understand that we're supposed to raise our kids in the Lord, but I think sometimes we don't know practical ways to do that. So as we go through the passage today, I want to give us some practical ways to do that. And one of the main verses we all know when it comes to raising our kids in the Lord is Proverbs 22:6, which says this, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So nice blanket statement, train them up. But the next question would be is, how do we do that? And so we're going to talk about today how we do that, and we're going to see from the passage some of the ways that God shows them how they can do that as well. But I want you to note something about that command, and I just let the cat out of the bag from Proverbs 22. It is a command. It is in the command form. God didn't say it was a divine suggestion to raise our kids in the Lord. God said, I'm commanding you, in the language, train up your children in the way they should go so that when they get older, they won't depart. Now, why would God be so emphatic to even write this in the language as a command? For this simple reason, if we let our children choose their own way, they will choose the wrong way. Now, I'm not talking about a career path. God didn't tell us to choose our children's career paths. God will put in their heart what it is he's gifted them to do and what it is he's called them to do. But our job, as they're growing and maturing to find their career path, our job is to get them on the path to God, because they're not going to find that path on their own. The reason being is the Bible says, just like us, they're born with a sin nature. And because our children are born with a sin nature, they're going to choose the sinful direction rather than the godly direction until they're mature enough to make that decision for themselves and see the wisdom in choosing God. I've heard parents say over the years, I remember one particular man coming to me and saying, I'm going to let my kids choose their own spiritual direction they go. That is a foolish man. Because I guarantee you, your kids are going to choose the wrong direction. That's why we are the parents and we're commanded to train them up in the way because they're too immature. Their brains are not developed. They don't know the difference in right and wrong well yet. We have to guide them in the right direction. So if we're not actively involved as parents, then the enemy will be actively involved in leading them away from the things of God. And you can rest on that. So again, we give them the direction through God's word, and we lead them the right way. And we'll see, again, some practical ways, as I said, to do that as we get into today's passage. Now, if you remember, the first five verses was just the angel announcing that Samson would be born, tells that he's going to be a Nazarite. She runs and tells Manoah, and that's where we take up starting in verse 6 of her running to tell her husband about what happened. And look what it says. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I didn't ask him where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And again, that right there would have been odd and strange for Manoah to hear, because again, it was a temporary vow they were to take. And whoever this was that told them they were going to have a child said he is to be totally set aside to God for his entire life. And herein lies really the will of God for us concerning our children. And that is this: we are to dedicate them to God as soon as possible and then raise them that way. Now, right now, minds are racing in here because some of you are saying, when I was, you know, not only could I not raise my kid before they were born, I didn't raise them in the Lord after they were born because I didn't even come to know the Lord until they were grown up, or maybe their teen years, or maybe you came to the Lord after they already had left home. And you're thinking, man, I already blew this. What do? I can't raise them in the ways of God. Listen, all God is asking us to do, whether you are currently about to have a child, or whether you have children that are right now at home, or whether or not they're in the teen years, or whether or not they're already gone, God is simply saying this: start where you are in raising them in the Lord. Wherever you are in the process, start right now. If you've not been doing it, begin to do it. Well, Mark, how do I do that if they've already left home? Pray for them. God, I know that I didn't raise them in the Lord while they were home. I know, Lord, I didn't know you. I know my life wasn't committed to you, and now they don't know you and I do. But God, would you open their eyes? Draw them to you, Lord. Let them see in my life something that's different. God will honor that. The Bible says God will restore the years that the cankerworm have eaten. And so the picture is, whatever the enemy has destroyed, God will give that back if you devote yourself completely to the Lord. Now, there's no guarantee what your kids will choose, especially if they've grown up without the Lord. But the bottom line is God is saying, start where you are and work from where you are to raise your kids in the Lord. And so look at this, verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent to come to us again, or rather whom you sent come to us again, and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Now, again, while I don't take away from how good this is that Manoah is seeking God on how to raise the child, it is interesting to me that he would pray the very thing that God just told her and how they were to raise the child. You know, it's like God just told you through your wife how you're to raise the child by his word, and now you're asking God once again how to do that. And again, I guess I understand to a degree of the curiosity of Manoah, but it really brings up a very important point when it comes to raising up our kids in the Lord, and that is this: how many people in the church today are still unclear about how to raise their children in the Lord when God has given us everything we need in Scripture on how to raise them? Now, you might be saying, well, wait a minute, we don't have everything. Well, God doesn't give us a manual about everything, single thing that happens as they're growing up, but God gives us a foundation and says, if you do this, your kids will turn out following the Lord. Train them up from childbirth on up, if you have that opportunity, and in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they won't depart. Now, I know that some kids choose to make wrong decisions. God doesn't say, and he's not saying in that passage, that some kids can't choose to go the wrong way, and if they choose to do that, God will allow them to. And there's nothing we can do about that. But the majority of our children, if we train them up from childbirth on up and from whenever we start really pouring into them and lead them the right direction, they're going to go the right direction. But here's where I think the problem comes in. We hear that verse and we say, well, how do I do that? Great, train them up. What does that mean? I want to give you some practical ways to train your kids up in the Lord that you can take home. They're very simple, but they're very profound. And God will help you to raise your kids in the Lord if you do this. The first one is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where God speaks about making the way of Joshua prosperous, that is, in spiritual things, if he simply does what God tells him right here in this verse. And notice what God says to him. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it," note this, "day and night." Here's principle number one. We are to meditate in the word day and night. And if we are to meditate the word day and night to be prosperous, what does that mean we're to do for our kids? We're to teach our kids to meditate in the word day and night. Notice that you may observe to do all, or rather to do according to all that is written in it. For then, that's another underliner. Day and night and then are great words to underline. For then you will make your way prosperous, that is spiritually prosperous, and then you will have good success. The first principle, guys, for us raising our kids in the Lord is to teach them to seek God morning and night. Now, how do you do that? Obviously, when they're little tiny babies, you can't do that. They're not going to get up in the morning and seek the Lord. And, you know, until they get to an age where they understand you, you know, even when they're little, though, once they get to an age later in the day when they're awake, you can begin to pour into them. And I find this day and night principle very interesting. It's going to come up again in a Deuteronomy passage about raising our children. So God holds true to this principle throughout the scripture. But it's also interesting to me that day and night is when they did the sacrifices of the daily lambs. The priest would sacrifice a lamb in the morning, and the priest would sacrifice a lamb at night. And so God was really driving home this point. If you want to be successful in seeking me, if you want to grow in me and be prosperous in your way, you'll be seeking me in the morning, which means I'll be with you throughout the day because you've already sought me and seeking my direction and my counsel. And then if you go at night and do it again, you'll be ending the day with me. And so going through the night, having that spiritual influence in the night as well. And so it's kind of this 24-hour package of day and night in the word and prayer. Again, this is something that I have taken to be the rule of life for myself, and it's something I've tried to do with my girls. And again, when they're little, you can't do the day thing really when they're little. But when they begin to get older, and especially you dads, if you have to go off to work, mom can step in. If there is a mom in the home, she can step in and have a time with them in the Word. An age-appropriate time in the Word, an age-appropriate time of prayer. And then at night when dad comes home, what we used to do, and we still do today. Now, as they get older, it's harder to get them all together because they're all over the place as they grow. But when they're home, and oftentimes it's only a couple of us now that are there in the den, we'll go to the den and we'll do our devotional time. We read a chapter of the Bible and we'll work through a certain book of the Bible. So you can do that with them in the morning and at night. Just work through a book so you know what chapter you're going to be reading every time you get to it. You don't have to pick something. And then we would have our time in the Word, we'd have a time in prayer, and I built that into them morning and night. And what's exciting to me is to see that it's taken hold in their lives. I'll get up and I'll see the girls reading their Bible in the morning. And that's how I want it to be. Again, you can't do it. They have to learn to do that. I let them do that part. You do the morning, and then I'll do the night. And as I train them in that habit, when they get older, it's something they'll carry on into their life throughout their life. And it's something that we, not only that we need to be doing for them as a principal with our kids, but listen, if we're going to do that for our kids, we have to first do it ourselves. We need to have our morning sacrifice with the lamb and the morning sacrifice with the lamb as well as adults in our life. And again, if we do that, our way will be prosperous and our kids' ways will be prosperous as well. And I'll tell you what I do. Again, I don't know about you. I mean, even if there's like a group of kids over there, and with when you have teens and all the kids start coming over, I'll walk in the room and say, "All right, we're all doing it. It's time. We're going to do it." And so whoever's visiting, they get to do it with us. And I think it's important, again, just to set that example for them, that time in the morning and night in the Word, raising them up in the Lord. And you know, it produces great fruit and great results. And I was blessed the other day because one of my girls said to me, "You know, Dad, until I got older and went to college and I didn't realize, you know, what the mindset of most of the college students today is. Their mindset of where they're coming from. They don't have a mindset of understanding the Bible all the way through. They don't have a mindset of, they have a worldly mindset, not a biblical mindset, so to speak. And I just grew up understanding this is God's word. This is true. This is the foundation. Everything in life is based on this. And I look at how far lost they are, how far down the road in the wrong direction they are, and how in the world can they be reached and brought back? And she was actually just expressing her thankfulness for knowing the word of God good enough to know where she was and where she stood and why she stood there. That is the kind of child that you want to raise up. And I'm telling you, if you do morning and night with your kids and think of a way you can do it as a family, their way will be prosperous. And your way will be prosperous as well. Some of you might be saying right now, well, you don't understand, Pastor Mark, how hard it is to get up in the morning. Look, I'm not saying you have to get up hours early. I'm saying try 15 minutes earlier. Get up 15 minutes, spend 7 minutes in the Word, 7 minutes in prayer. If you're a kid, then you take off to school. If you're an adult, then you take off to work. Then you can spend the same amount of time in the evening or more if you want. God will grow it as time goes by, but you don't have to torture yourself. God's not calling you to torture yourself. He's saying build in practices that will lead you to success. You know, even the world knows if you're going to be successful in business or successful in life, there are certain principles that have to be in place. The same thing is true when it comes to being a believer. Not legalistic, but just seeking God and setting aside the right times with the Lord. So that's the first thing, day and night. I think that I probably emphasized that over enough, but I want to drive that home. The second thing, and the second principle I want to give you about raising your kids in the Lord, comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And notice what God says to the children of Israel about their children. He says, "And these words which I command you today," we would say the Bible, "shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently." How are we to teach them to our kids? Diligently, not casually, not when we feel like it, but we set aside a time to do it. Now, again, I know some of you are probably feeling bad right now because you, I didn't do that. Remember, God's not chastising us today for what we didn't do in the past. God is saying, start now, today, from this point on, doing it the right way. And God will honor that. "You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, notice the four directives he gives here. Two of them are the ones we already talked about that he gave to Joshua in chapter 1 of Joshua chapter 1. And that is, notice he says the last two, when you lie down and when you rise up. So he's saying is morning and night, that same principle. Be in the Word morning, be in the Word night. Be in prayer morning, be in prayer night. That's the principle if you're going to be prosperous. This is not the key to salvation. Understand that. Salvation is simply believing that Jesus died on the cross and giving your life to him and you will be saved. But once you're saved, if you want to be prosperous in the things of God, this is the directive that God gives. So we see, again, the repeating of morning and night. But notice these other two that he gives that we're to do with our parents, with our children and us as parents. And that is, notice this, "You shall talk of them," that is God's word, God's principles, "when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way." So what does he mean? When you're living everyday normal life. What's an example? You're in your house and the kids come in and one of them says something like, "You're not going to believe what happened today. And Mikey said this in class and they said that and this, that, and whatever." Say, you know what? That's exactly what really just illustrates what the Bible says, and boom, 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 boom. So you're, as you're living life, you're bringing the Bible into it. You're saying, yeah, that's what God's word says would happen. God says if you do that, that's going to happen. And so here's what happened. And you're teaching them just in everyday normal life.
This message you heard from the book of Judges today is just one of many. As we keep working our way through this book, here on Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is the teaching pastor of this ministry, and we come to you out of Calvary, Knoxville, in Knoxville, Tennessee. In the book of Judges, you hear and learn about Gideon, Jephthah, Deborah, and Samson. These are just a few of the judges that God appointed to the nation of Israel to help them get out of oppressive situations. Essentially, the people of Israel kept rebelling and going against the standards that God had established with Israel generations before. But typical of human nature, they ran away from God's rules, and they went and did whatever they wanted. These choices led them to an unpleasant place of judgment, because it was. Do you have situations where you're handing out consequences for sin with your children? Have you been on the receiving end of consequences or punishment? It's an uncomfortable place to be, whether you're giving the discipline or receiving it. Ultimately, God just wanted the people to follow him with all of their hearts, as he had laid out for them in previous books of the Bible. He wanted to gently discipline them so that their hearts would come back to him in the process. He used these various judges mentioned in this book to be a conduit of what his heart was for them in the long run. If you're ever interested in learning more about this ministry or getting in touch with us in some way, head over to thewaymedia.net. There you can also find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table.
come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.